record on this computer. Here we go. Okay, everybody. Hope everybody's doing well. So a halachic topic related to Parashat Vayeshev is the mitzvah, the prohibition to not hate a fellow Jew. The Torah in Sefer Vayikra says, "Lo sisna es achicha b'levavecha." One shall not hate their brother, their fellow Jew, in their heart. And certainly in Parashat Vayeshev, we have the story, the saga with Yosef and the brothers. And we'll start with the Parsha and branch out to the classical sources and try to come away with an understanding of what does the Torah mean when it says that you shall, quote unquote, not hate your brother, your fellow Jew. So let's begin, as we always do, with the Parsha. So Parsha Vayeshev, the Torah famously says, Vayir'u Echav. So Yosef's brothers saw, Ki oto ahav avihem mikol echav. So Yaakov Avinu favored Yosef over the other brothers to some degree, and therefore that led to the following reaction. Vayisnu oto. The Torah records that they hated him. V'lo yachlo dabro l'shalom. And because they hated him, they could not speak with him pleasantly. And the next pasuk records, Vayachalom Yosef chalom. So when Yosef had a dream, Vayaged le'echav, and he told his brothers, and guess what? The Torah says, Vayosifu od suno oso. And they added on to their hatred. So they hated Yosef even more. That's not good. Okay, so a little bit further on, just four psukim later, right after the dream again is recounted. So the brothers say, enough, Yosef, with all this stuff. What you think you're going to be? You think you're going to be the king over us? Vayosifu od suno oso. And they added a third dimension of hatred, al chalamosav. So here you have three different levels of hatred, seemingly, meaning the Torah goes out of its way to say, you know, that the brothers hated Yosef not once, not twice, but literally three times. And the next time, the Torah says that they were jealous of him. So it's interesting. If we were learning the Chumash right now, we wanted to learn the Parsha Be'ian, we try to figure out why does the Torah shift from the brothers, quote-unquote, hating Yosef to the brothers, quote-unquote, being jealous of Yosef. That's a fascinating insight just into the basic psukim. So what is that about? All right. So the brothers hated Yosef. So they did the wrong thing, they did the right thing. So obviously there's a lot to say, but derech parshanut, if you wanted to learn again, Chumash Mefarshim, you know, you have the Ramban, and maybe, you know, maybe Yosef was a Rodeif, right? And you have the Malabim that says that they were afraid that Yaakov would think that Yosef was the good brother, like Yitzchak and like Yaakov, and that he would dismiss the other brothers as the evil brother, like Yishmael and like Esav. You know, there's a lot to talk about b'derech Torah shebichsav with the Mefarshim, but let's try to stay halachic. Are you allowed to hate your brother? You know, what if there's good reason to hate somebody? And let's just learn the Rashi and the Sforno, and then we'll branch out to the halacha. Rashi gives the brothers credit, actually. What credit do the brothers deserve for hating Yosef? Says Rashi, V'lo yachlu dabro l'shalom. I mean, the brothers hated Yosef, but they also didn't speak pleasantly to him. Namely, mitoch benusam lamayinu shivcham. We learn their praise out from this. Why? Shalo dibru achas bepev achas b'li. So what would have been even worse if the brothers hated Yosef and pretended to love him? But what the brothers do, they hated Yosef, Robert, and they also were not nice to him. So ironically, that's a better thing, Robert, right? Meaning if you hate someone, it's worse to deceive them and make them think that you love them, right? What's better, seemingly, according to Rashi, is when you hate someone that you should not pretend that you don't hate them. And that's actually going to make its way into the halachic realm as well. And the Sforno explains that, what does that mean they couldn't speak with him pleasantly? They interacted with Yosef by default, right? Meaning they were shepherds, they were co-workers, so to speak, with Yosef, right? They needed, by default, to speak with Yosef. Meaning Yosef was part of their lives. They could not escape him. So they had to interact with him. And the issue was, lo yachlu d'daber imo l'shalom, v'reyus k'minak ha'achim. So they hated Yosef, and they couldn't work with him pleasantly. And I think this Rashi and this Sforno are a great segue between the Parsha and the Halacha. Rashi, number one, is arguing that there are going to be people you hate, and you're going to be tempted to pretend that you don't hate them. Unfortunately, I've seen this so many times, and I'm not so old, right, where where behind people's backs, just things are said that would never be said in front of their faces. It's a very, 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 very difficult part of reality. And people think they're doing a very good thing by coming off one way, but then behind closed doors saying a different thing. It's a very scary part of reality. And it's just not a pleasant thing to even speak about, but it's very real. And then Sforno, I want to just point out that he's explaining that sometimes we do have to work with people that we don't like, right? What's he in essence saying? That the brothers had to deal with Yosef, whether they liked him or not. And they had trouble with him. I think in life also, there are just people that we have to deal with, whether we like dealing with them or not. And this leads us to the question of how to deal with difficult people. And it's a Ben Adam L'Chaveiro topic and somewhat of a Midos topic, but it's a real mitzvah. And I guess we could maybe entitle this year how to deal with difficult people and how to deal with our own feelings when we feel that we hate Jews. And there is a pasuk in what is it? Or it's Parsha Achareim or Kedoshim, right? I think it's Kedoshim, right? It's Avi's our Baal Kor. Vayikra Yates Yud. So usually a double Parsha. I think it's Kedoshim. Might be Achareim. So for Dr. Karp, highly rich man, he wagers on Kedoshim. I think, right? I think it's Parsha Kedoshim. So the Torah says Lotisna Zachich Bavara Zochech Tachich Zmizara Lasis Olav Chait. Right, that's in the realm of Va'alach Alecha Kamocha. Right, so I think it's Kedoshim. Right, so when the Torah is speaking about all the mitzvahs Ben Adam Chavero, Va'avta Alecha Kamocha, so in there the Torah says black on white, one shall not hate their brother in their heart. Bilvavecha. That's a huge. That's a makor for a mitzvah Midbar Raisa. Oh, so very good. So Rabbi. Oh, very good, very good. So let's pose the question: did the brothers violate this Isser? The brothers violated this Isser. Oh, very good. So technically speaking, there was no such thing as an Isser of Sisna as a Chicha Bilvavecha, because it's not one of the Sheva Mitzvos Bnei Noach, and they are not bound by Parshas Kedoshim. It doesn't maybe matter whether or not they violated it or not, but maybe Derech Lima Torah, it may be an important point to ponder, did they or did they not? So we have so far learned a little bit of Parsha, and we explored the question of, and we also pointed out that there's another Parsha that says there's an issue to hate one's brother. And it's obviously connected to the Parsha because the Torah testifies many times, three times in this week's Parsha, that the brothers hated Yosef. So now that doesn't mean they were wrong, but they definitely hated Yosef. So Rav Achai Gaon, right, lives in the Gaonic period. So before the Rishonim, but after Gemara is the Gaonic period. And Rav Achai Gaon, he writes in this week's Parsha's Vayeshev, De Asir Lehu Ledves Yisrael Lemisnei Char Chavrei. We are commanded by the Torah not to hate our fellow Jew. Now, and guess what? He actually uses the brothers in this week's Parsha. And he says, V'ashecha nami debadil snusa deshnuye achui de Yosef. Dichsiv v'yisnu'u oso v'lo yachlu dabro l'shalom. So says Rav Achai Gaon that the brothers were singled out for their hatred. And look what he says. This galgel hadavar, it got worse and worse. Galgel is a wheel. This hatred led v'yerdu avosenu l'mitzrayim. Wow. Which means if Rav Achai Gaon was authoring the Pesach Haggadah, when does the story begin with us going down to Egypt? He seemingly would suggest the brothers hating Yosef. One led to the other, and seemingly what he's suggesting here, if I understand him correctly, is that he's criticizing the brothers. Meaning, if the brothers did not hate Yosef, we would not have been sent into slavery. I think the Pashup Shot reading of what he's saying is that they were wrong, and one wrong led to another wrong, and that led to the Jewish people being enslaved. Hey, Robert, did you have a comment there?
Yeah, I did. So I thought it was a done deal, Hashem said to Abraham, everyone's going to be enslaved for X number of years, and that had to happen.
Yeah, 100%.
That if he didn't, you know, like, is he looking into the future and saying he knew it would happen, or is he saying that it had to happen?
That's a great question. So there's an interesting machshava I never would have known without the essays of Rav Avigdor Nevensal. So when Hashem decrees something, it can manifest itself in one of many ways. For example, the Zohar writes that how did Shevet Levi serve their slavery? Meaning Hashem said to Avram, all of your descendants will be slaves. But Shevet Levi were not slaves. And the Zohar argues that they experienced the slavery through the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. Their hard work through Torah was a fulfillment of the promise to Avram. Meaning, you can, you know, God's promise can come about in many ways. In the same way that we believe Mashiach can come about any day. Because when God says X will happen, but he doesn't tell you how X will happen. It could look in one of like dozen ways. So that would be the answer to your question, Robert. Yeah, that Hashem promised Avram that his children would be, you know, in a foreign land, but maybe it didn't have to be difficult, hard, backbreaking slavery. It might have been a lot easier, you know, something along those lines. Be as grueling, something like that. Okay, but it's a very sharp question. Okay, so right now we have our first, like you say, halachic source, besides for the pasuk. And where Vachai Gon says, they're not allowed to hate your brother, and the, seemingly the brothers were guilty of that. Wow. Okay, so moving on to Shas. Now, obviously, Rav Chaigon comes after the Gemara, but he was explaining the Pasuk, so I quoted him first. But the Gemara Maseches Erechin is the main source on this sugya, and the Gemara says, Tana Rabbanu, L'sitna Sechicha B'Levecha, you're not allowed to hate your fellow Jew in your heart. So you, what would you have logically have said that meant? Don't hate. What does hate look like? So you might have thought it meant don't what? You know, if I were, you know, what verb do you associate with hatred? So I don't know, maybe cursing someone out, hitting, right? So that's what the Gemara says. No, it doesn't mean that you're not allowed to yell at him or hit him. It doesn't mean that, right? Because why? What key word is in the Torah? Bil vavecha. So from the fact that the Torah says it's bil vavecha, sinah shebelev hakasav medaber. The all Isser is talking about internal hatred. Okay? So if it's internal hatred, what does that mean? So imagine I don't like you very much. So therefore, what, I automatically violate an Isser? So what, I have to love every Jew. So what does it mean? If there's someone that gets on my nerves, man, I don't hate them, I don't like them. It's a fascinating question. Like, when do you violate this Isser? So it's a little bit open-ended right now, but all the Gemara really has, the big breakthrough of the Gemara, is that the Gemara picks up on the word bil vavecha. Namely, it's not an issue you violate with your hands or your mouth. It's an issue you violate internally. So dare I say, the mitzvah is no longer bein adam l'chaveiro, it's bein adam l'atzmo. Rav Shechter in Eretz Tzvi, I forget which essay, from the Gaon, if I'm not mistaken, he points out, right, the three categories. It's well before Rav Shechter. But bein adam l'atzmo is another way of saying that you have to work on yourself and in your own midos. So if it's, I'm not allowed to curse you out, it means bein adam l'chaveiro. If the Isser is, I'm not allowed to feel negative feelings towards you, seemingly it's bein adam atzmo, right? Because I can be very nice to you, but still hate you. So I'm not violating bein adam l'chaveiro, I'm violating bein adam atzmo. It's interesting. I don't know. Yeah, no, is someone disagreeing with me? No, Jerome sneezed. Okay, Jerome, how are you feeling over there?
Sorry. No, okay. I'm not muted.
It's okay. Yeah, you should wear a mask, please, when you sneeze.
Of course.
It's okay. You know, Baruch Hashem, I thank Hashem. My son, Azri, I mean, tested negative yesterday for COVID. That was a pretty wild week. I had to stay home today. You know, my wife stayed home on Monday. It was a little bit of a wild week for the family. Baruch Hashem, you know, good things. You know, you never want to get negative back on a test like this one. Baruch Hashem. And we wish you a refuah shleima for all the people who are suffering right now. And we always have the minhag tefillos. Yeah, ours. But Jerome, we wish Jerome a gesundheit, you know, on a short-term level.
I know I'm here. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. So okay.
Now, by the fact yes. that
what was that, Ms. Carr?
After, shouldn't those two be linked?
Which two mitzvahs? I'm sorry, I missed your.
When you say the pasuk, it says.
Oh yeah. Mrs. Karp is obviously seven steps out of the game as usual. So what does the Torah say? Not only are they juxtaposing the Torah, they're juxtaposing the Gemara as well. When the Gemara speaks about the Isser of Losisna, then right away says, Minayin l'roa b'chaveru davar maguna, shechai v'halchicha, shenemar halchiach tochicha. So if I see you violating this, doing something wrong, I need to protest. So yes, Ramban al HaTorah famously links these two mitzvos. And here's the way the Ramban presents the mitzvah. If I see you do something wrong and I don't protest, the amount of resentment internally will build up and it will lead to rachamim, something very bad. So therefore, I need to give you tochacha to kind of blow off some steam to get it off my chest. Otherwise, it will build up. And what's the famous episode of Tanakh? Who violated this? As Mishkar, we appreciate you saying this because you're leading to more Torah. Rambam even writes this. Not only does the Ramban write it, but the Rambam also writes it in the Anach HaZakah, that when Rachman the son Amnon violated his half-sister Tamar, right, David HaMelech was both of their fathers, their different mothers. So Amnon faked sick, and he requested that Tamar watch over her because he had emotional attachment to her. And when no one was around, he took advantage of her physically and then completely betrayed her. Even though halachically he was allowed to marry her, and he was begged him, please marry me, and he left her out and cold and dry. You know, Rahman, very negative thing to do. And Tamar's full brother, Avshalom, and as opposed to Avshalom confronting Amnon right away, what did he do? He pretended to not be upset, and years later invites Amnon to a party and murders him. So you're 1,000% right that the two Isurim are very much, meaning if you don't protest now, you're going to hate the person, and the hate will lead to murder. Whoa. Yeah, so that's how they're linked. Very good. 100% is a very sharp point. Mr. Karp, thank you for bringing that up. And that's why we copy the advice. If you see something, say something. You know, if something bothers you, you bring it up. Now that's more practical in the realm of, say, shalom bias. You know, you shouldn't let fester for years at a time, decades at a time. You should kind of get it out and fix the problem. But it's not always appropriate to give money. So that's another art of tochacha. When to tell people. I don't like. Sometimes it is appropriate to kind of keep it inside. So that's a different sugya of when. Give tochacha. But certainly the mitzvah of tochacha is very much connected to the isra of losis nasachich b'vavacha. So 100%. Now the Rambam is the one that really points out, and it's going to be even more highlighted and clear in the Sefer Achim, that the mitzvah is completely internal. Argues the Rambam, kol asone echad miyisrael b'libo over below sa'aseh. If you hate your friend in your heart, you violate this isra, and ve'en lokin ad lavze. You can't get malchus for this. Why not? Right, Lefish, there's no isser that you don't get malchus if there's no masa, there's no action. Here's the key line in the Rambam that the Achronim have a field day with. Well, he's al sinasha believe, right? It's all internal. Aval hamakas chaveru mecharevu. If I hit you and I curse you out, so that's not good. Aval pi she'eno rashai eno over. So if I curse you out, if I hit you, that's not mutar. It's not a violation of lo sisna. And the Sefer HaChinuch says that explicitly. The Sefer HaChinuch is almost always Rambam-oriented, right? He often will quote the Ramban and others as well. There's a tremendous overlap with the Sefer HaChinuch and the Rambam. Some, remember Rabbi Yehuda Terek, I don't know which historians or Rabban pointed this out, that it could be that the Minchas HaChinuch and the Rambam. But what do you want to do if you want to write a Sefer on the Rambam but you're afraid it's going to sell well because everyone else has written a Sefer already on the Rambam? So what do? You write a Sefer and you call it a parish on the Sefer HaChinuch, which is essentially the Lamdash Sefer on the Rambam, and therefore it stands out because it's like the parish on the Sefer HaChinuch. So, not only was Minchas Chinuch sharp in his Lamdash, he is a good marketing tool as well. All right, so you have to always know how to brand yourself. I don't know if that's true or not, but it is true. That's not the first time you heard this, Adam? Oh, it's famous. The Minchas Chinuch is. Ah, fascinating. So Adam's heard of this legend already. Okay. Remember the Huda Tversky and Dr. Adam Karp. Okay, this is big news for me. Okay. Anyway, so Sefer HaChinuch. So what does he write? Exactly what the Rambam writes. However, he spells it a little bit more clearly. He writes, Aval kishiyir lo sinav yaduah shu sone eino over al halav. So here it is. The Sefer HaChinuch writes that the mitzvah is all internal to the degree that you get out of the Isser when it's no longer internal. So exactly what Mrs. Carr predicted, once I tell you I don't like you, I'm no longer violating of Osisna Zachicha Bavavacha. Now, very good. So AB's already connecting it back to the Parsha. But look at this. Amram, who over Lositum? You're not allowed to be mean to people, right? If someone, let's say, is not nice to me, and I'm nice back to them, and they say, why are you being so mean to me? And I say, because I hate you. I think you're a bad person. So ironically, I don't violate the Isser of Losisna. I hate you. I violate Losiko Motitor. I'm taking revenge. I'm holding a grudge. Right. As long as I'm open about it. Right. If very good. Very good. So if all four really can't hear, so Weinstein's pointing out important things. We'll tell you in a second. All right. So what we just learned is that according to the Rambam, the Isser only lies in your heart. Once you've verbalized the hatred, you no longer violate it. Now, Rabbi Weinstein points out, so the brothers did a great job. What do? They hated him and pretend to love him. In fact, the Torah testifies, v'lo yachlu ledaber, you know, imo b'shav. The Torah says it black and white. That's why that sforno is so beautiful, because they couldn't work with him honestly, you know. And Rashi says, echad, but they were authentic, but they didn't pretend to love him. So what's the chiddush, Alvin? If you don't like a rabbi, what should you say to the rabbi, Alvin? I don't like you. Seemingly, it would be worse to be deceptive, right? This is why I give everyone a bracha. They should all criticize me. If I give a drasha they don't like, or if I give a shah they don't like, or whatever it is, you should tell me right away. And you can tell me, Alvin's the new shaliach. Anyone who doesn't like me, Alvin is officially appointed as the middleman. Alvin, okay? Alvin, you know, and we walk together to shul. So, you know, it won't be awkward. It'll be very natural. By the time I get to shul, I'll know who hates me, and I'll try to not take a job to see you back. All right, so Alvin has been appointed Rosh Mandelstam. But that's the idea. You shouldn't fake it. And that's why it's so scary when people fake it. Okay, so with every Isser, there are heterim, right? Last week, I want to thank Aramevsky. The Isser we learned about last week of, flattery. Hanufa applies to Jews, by the way. So too, this Isser only Jews, right? The Isser of hating is unique to the Jews. Now, there are similar Isser regarding non-Jews, but the Isserim that we're talking about are related to the Jewish people. Yet the Torah says that black on white, that there's going to be a scenario where you hate someone. Ironically, it's very much in passing. I think this is a parsha mishpatim. You see the donkey of the one you hate. Rovitz tachas masa'o. Oh, so it's either Kisisa. It must be. Maybe it's the middle of Kisisa. So, you know, in the mishpatim zone. So you see the guy you hate, and what's happening? The donkey of him is falling. And what are you supposed to do? Azov lo, azov ta'azov imo. So if I see someone who I hate and I see the donkey, falling under its load, what do I have to do? I need to help that person. So wait a minute. Whoa, who can? Okay. So verified from Rabbi Al-Kore. So what's the obvious question on this pasuk, everyone? Meaning, I'm describing someone who I hate. If I see so-and-so who I hate and I see that their donkey is under the load, I need to help them. What do you mean? But I'm not allowed to hate anybody. So the Gemara and Mesechus, you'd give Malam and Beis. Asks the question of who in the blaze are you talking about? You're not allowed to hate another Jew. So again, as opposed to going into the Gemara, there's a very detailed Gemara there about Edus, and specifically in the halachic realm. But ultimately, the poskim and the Gemara, what emerges from this Gemara is that, from this pasuk, is that there is someone that you are allowed to hate. I mean, the Torah is speaking about someone that you are allowed to hate. And even though you hate them, you should still help them. Wow. And this is found in the Rambam Hilchos Rotseach. So the Rambam says, you know who the Torah is talking about? It's talking about a Jew. And who is Gon? Shera'u levadu she'avar averov hisrabo v'locha. Ah, so Mrs. Karp strikes again. It's talking about the person who I gave tochacha. I did the right thing. And he didn't listen. And therefore, hareze mitzvah lisono. I'm allowed to hate him. In fact, it's a mitzvah for me to hate him. So now the Rambam is taking on a new dimension of hatred. Seemingly, the Isser is no longer internal. A lot of the Achronim like to say that there's a Rambam and Rashi, that whereas the Rambam says the Isser is only internal, Rashi would say, even if I verbalize it, I violate it. But seemingly, I give Ruvain Musser, and he doesn't listen. not only am I allowed to hate him, seemingly the Rambam would allow me to hate him externally as well. There's a heter to hate someone outwardly. Until he does tshuva. Now again, I'm not saying that there's no machlokas Rashi and the Rambam. It's not my place to argue with the Gedolei Achronim. But I'm just saying there's more to the Rambam that meets the eye. Namely, the Rambam Hilchos Rotzeach, you know, gives you a new face of this Isser, and it's mutter to hate someone. Now, but it's a beautiful Rambam because he's saying that you're only allowed until they do tshuva. And what's the Torah saying? Even though you hate them and they didn't listen to you, what should you still do? You should still help them if their donkey is strong under a heavy load. Why? Because what does the Pasuk say famously in Tanakh? And you know, what does Hashem prefer? Not the death of the Rishayim, but Rishuv Rasha Medarcho V'chayim. Right? Hashem wants Rishayim not to die, but to do Shuvah. So too, if you see someone you hate, you should hate them because you're allowed to hate them. But you should also, that hatred should not get in the way of you. It's just a beautiful part of the Torah. Just the Torah makes us beautiful. And part of that is helping your enemies. What an amazing idea. Okay, so let's say practice. So we're not going to bump into too many enemies with donkeys in the near future. Where does hatred come up in Shulchan Aruch? More often than not, it's tefillah. The halacha knows that people get into fights. And before that, believe it or not, there's a famous idea of the Ramah. There is a section in Yoredeya known as Hilchos Bikur Cholim. Why would you think that I should not visit you if you're sick? I hate you. What would happen, right, Dr. Karp? If I hate you, would I visit you in the hospital? So it would appear that what? That maybe, right, I'm not coming to visit you out of love. I'm actually very happy that you're sitting in a hospital. Wow. So the halacha acknowledges this unfortunate reality of human. And the Rambam quotes it as a yesh omrim. There are those who say that a person who hates another person is allowed to visit the chole. The Rambam says, velo nirali. It does not appear to me. Ella lo chole. Wow. Velo yinachem ha'avil. I should have called to you if you and I hate each other, and I shouldn't visit you in the hospital if you and I hate each other. Holy smokes. Oh, but you are allowed to be my. Right, so I am allowed to attend the funeral of someone I hate because that already is like enough. It's like everyone agrees that there's an
acknowledging that you're allowed to hate somebody, but continue.
What, say that again? What?
Acknowledging that you're hating somebody.
Ah, very good. So Jerome points out that this is another example of where the halacha realizes that you're hating. Now, I don't think this is the ideal version of the person I gave Musar to, and he didn't. I mean, this is the person who I'm not.
What does Alvin say about this?
I think Alvin's saying it, right? Alvin's talking about the B'dieven situation, no? We're not supposed to hate the person, but you hate him anyway, Alvin, right? I think so. I think that's what Alvin would say. I think so. I have my knowledge of Alvin. But the Shach already points out something very important. So don't do a Shiva call or a Bikur Cholim visit. But the Bach says, no. Many, many people disagree. And the Shach points out such a brilliant. He says it depends on the people and the degree of hatred. There are people who hate each other but have a relationship and they can kind of get over it. And there are people who it's not worth it. Fortunately, we all know probably both categories. And the Shach would argue, and the Tzitz Eliezer argues of the Halacha, that first of all, the Ramah might be that who's to say that the Ramah is right? He's up against some pretty big poskim. It should be mutter to pay a shiva call or visit the sick if you hate them. And the other rabba, it would be an opportunity to make shalom. Because if I hate you, but I pay you a shiva call, it's showing that I'm actually taking a step in the right direction towards a shalom. And what a beautiful idea. And seemingly the Ramah is the main tone of this halacha. The Tzitz Eliezer and the Shach already kind of combat the Ramah, and they argue like you have to just use sin, that me paying you a shiva call would end the hatred, so top. If it would just fuel the flames, and the person, the last thing he needs right now is for you to be in the room, so then you shouldn't go. Again, the very, very sensitive stuff, but we probably do understand with basic when this is appropriate. Okay, now this comes up more halachically again in the realm of tefillah. The Ramah again says that I'm allowed to so-and-so not be the chazan because I don't like that person. The guy by Adam Karp, he picks a chazan for Musa, and I say, Adam, No way. That person's no. So the Mishnah Berurah points out that nowadays is the nature of tefillah has changed. Right? The Magen Avraham points us out that no longer is the, you know, being motzi me and my chiv of tefillah. So therefore, the chazan is not really representing me. So this halacha has changed altogether. Alternatively, or additionally, rather, the Mishnah Berurah points out that listen, if we actually let it protest, no one would ever be able to go to shul ever. No, we wouldn't ever, right? Who's gonna? You're gonna tell me that everyone in the shul is gonna agree about every chazan? Forget about it. So Mishnah Berurah therefore says that every minhag in shul works. You have to have your leaders of your shul who pick the chazan, and they are the ones who get to decide. Oh, but so-and-so is going to protest. We don't care about so-and-so anymore. Even though the Ramah writes that even one individual is allowed to protest, that was talking about a different time, a different place, where tefillah was different, where the chazan was really dominant. So practically speaking, the Hilchos tefillah stuff doesn't really come up anymore. It does come up in Hilchos Birkas Kohanim. The Mishnah Berurah said, in fact, he even writes, it's a sakana hula im yisakapav, if he hates the tzibor, or if the tzibor hates him. Whoa, meaning the Mishnah Berurah in Kuf Chav Ches, Lamazan, they'll be posted on the website, not on the app, but on the website. So a Kohen is allowed to duchen together. Two Kohanim are allowed to duchen side by side, even if they hate each other. But the Mishnah Berurah writes that the Kohanim cannot duchen if by the tzibor, or if the tzibor hates them. In fact, the Kohen should leave the room before it say. And one time, this I was in Israel, and my in Shalavim, I got paired together with no family, a family Nofi alone who takes you under their wing. You eat Shabbos, and one time, they told me the story that a boy who was not called to duchen, and he was a high school boy or so, and they asked him, "Why do you not go up to duchen?" And he said, "I know the halacha is that there's someone, I hate someone, I'm not allowed to duchen." And everyone knew that this particular boy was picked on by one of his teachers. The teacher bullied him, and the kid hated him. And the teacher was davening in the minyan, and he did not duchen. Wow. So I think the teacher probably got the memo after that. And in conclusion, how could we not speak about Hanukkah, you know, Erev Hanukkah? Of the Kohanim, of the Hanukkah story, the Kohanim, who are also the teachers. And Rav Moshe Feinstein in his Drash Moshe, Parshas, that the Kohanim need to be besimcha. You know, the Lashim are the ones that sing Shira, because a Rebbe is the one who needs to be besimcha. If you represent the Torah, you need to always be besimcha. Rav Moshe Feinstein says that if your students are going to get under your skin, or the frustrations of education are going to get to you, then you have to pick a different parnasa, a different job. Because someone who's in the educational realm, the one who's giving over the Mesorah of the Torah, needs to be besimcha. Wow, what a beautiful idea of Rav Moshe. So that's the idea when we do the bracha. That's why they say bi'ahava. That's what the Mishnah writes. It's bi'ahava because Kohanim need to be besimcha and b'shalom. So as we approach Hanukkah, we should learn the message of the Kohanim, that we should view Jews b'simcha u'ba'ahava, and Bezos the real Kohanim doing the real.
So some have the minhag, the Kriyas Torah, Vayik Halos, right before it is the Birkat Kohanim, Parshas Naso.
Yeah.
And some communities have the minhag of starting the Kriyas Torah, first day of Hanukkah, with Birkat Kohanim.
There's a tremendous overlap. Right. Birkat Kohanim and Hanukkah has a tremendous. I got to stop here for Marv. I don't have as much time to speak for questions. But I'm recording Bezos Hashem on what you told. I cannot thank you.
Okay, thank you so much. Bye-bye.
All right, everybody. Have a wonderful evening. Thank you.